Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you for joining us on this audio version of our Sunday service. As you'll hear in a moment or two, I'll be giving thanks for last week whenever we opened up the church building, and it was good to see so many of you who I know have been listening along in person. But we'll keep this audio going for the next few weeks anyway, for those who want to continue to listen from home. So I hope you do enjoy our service of worship as usual. There'll be no songs included in this recording because of copyright issues, but you can listen to the prayers, the reading, and the sermon. So let us worship God together. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thanks for joining with us online as we worship again today for Sunday, the 13th of September. And can I begin this pre-recorded service by saying a huge thank you to everyone who was involved in our live service last week. What a privilege it was to be able to come together and meet in God's house once again. We know we don't need a building to be able to meet. We know that we're able to worship separated the way we are online. But it was just such a wonderful time to be able to come together. And I have to say, the overwhelming sense of peace is what struck me about Sunday. Everyone who came along on Sunday did exactly what was asked of them, and we greatly appreciate that. People sat where they don't normally sit, in the places that they were asked to. We all sat at the 2 meter distance, and indeed in some places the distance is more than 2 meters. And there was just a tremendous sense of peace and God's presence with us as we met for that time together. I don't think anybody felt uncomfortable sitting within the building under the circumstances that we had. So we do invite you to come and join with us if you're able. We know that there are many of you who, first of all, aren't even in Port Stewart, so you can't come and join with us. There are others who are in Port Stewart and you'd rather not come into a crowd at this time, and we fully appreciate that. So we're going to keep this Burnside at Home going, and hopefully you still feel part of our congregation and part of our worship at this time. With that in mind, we're having a Zoom Bible study and prayer time on Wednesdays. So if you have access, obviously, to the computer, and you can join us at 12 noon on Wednesdays. There is a code that you need, a link that you need for Zoom. If you haven't received it in the weekly email, send me an email and I will send you that Zoom link, and you're more than welcome to join us. Even if you're not in Port Stewart, you can still have fellowship with us. And if you don't get an email on a Saturday from Burnside, then send me your email address and I'll add you to the list so that you get that regular update each week. The email address is burnsidechurch, that's all one word, burnsidechurch@gmail.com, gmail.com. So send your email address to me requesting that you get added to the Saturday email, or that you would like to be a part of our Bible study on Wednesday. Last week we had a little trial session. We met for prayer just for half an hour, and it truly was remarkable, because whenever we close our eyes to pray, it was just as though we were in the same room together. One of the folk that was on the call said, you just heard people's voices. It was as if we were sitting together in the same room having prayer. So that's Wednesday, 12 noon. Do join with us if you can do that. If you would like to join us, but 12 noon doesn't suit and you'd rather have an evening, let me know and we'll try and set up an evening get together as well. So what's coming up in our service today? Well, we're continuing this series that has been set up by our Presbyterian church called Prism, where we hold up a prism to the pandemic and our relationship with God, and we allow each of the different parts to be split open so that we can examine them and see what our relationship with God is truly like. Last week, we were thinking about returning, obviously coming to the building once again. This week, we're thinking about re-emerging, emerging out into the world again, how we connect with the world, how we connect with God as we do that. We're going to be looking together at the story of Noah and how Noah re-emerged into the world after the flood, where things were very different, but also the same, and how his relationship with God developed through that. And our reading today is going to be from Genesis chapter 8, and it's going to be read to us by Wilfred Dickey. In a moment or two, Anne Freeman is going to lead us in prayer, and we're going to sing Psalm 40 together, a psalm which talks about waiting upon the Lord and then being lifted up out of our problems, out of our difficulties, by God's salvation. And so that's something that we're thinking about throughout the service today. Do remember also that as we look at Reemerge, we are going to be looking at that each morning on the blog, and there'll be a little video and some songs and some extra content just to develop the theme a bit more. And you can find the blog on the church website, www.burnsidepci.co.uk. So it's www.burnsidepci.co.uk, and do look at that each day, and it will develop this theme that we've looked at today together. So let's worship God together, and a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 8, where God gives a promise. Noah has worshipped God, he's offered a sacrifice to God, and God says to him, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." So let's worship this great God who has made this wonderful promise of sustaining us, of looking after us, of redeeming us, and let us glorify him together.
But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the Mount of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, then in its beak there was freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month, Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the 2nd month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and their sons' wives. all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves in the earth, came out of the earth, one kind after another. Amen.
Let's come to God with our prayers for others today, and also our prayers of thanksgiving. And as we do so, I want to once again thank you for your contributions towards the finances of our church. And we do thank you for that, and we want to praise God for that. We also want to bring our prayers for others. And at a time where there's so much uncertainty, we want to give thanks that God is the same yesterday, today, forever, and that we can trust in him. We want to give thanks that we've got a Saviour who's right beside us every step of the way. And as we re-emerge into this world, God has promised to be with us. And we want to give thanks as well that even though we might think about despairing, and there are many in the world who are despairing at this time, we have a God who offers us hope. And we're going to find out about that today. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for your people and their generosity. We thank you, Lord, for the offerings that have been received, and we pray that they would be used for your glory in this place. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as a congregation to meet all of the demands upon us, and that all of our bills would be paid. Today, Lord, we want to bring the needs of others before you in prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that we are a people who need not despair. That even though there is so much uncertainty in the world, even though, Lord, there is so much that we are worried about and concerned about, we thank you that we can trust in you. And so, Lord, there are many things that upset us and grieve us, and we know that they grieve you as well. And so we bring them to you in prayer. We bring this whole COVID-19 situation to you. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill at this time. We ask that you would guide the medical professionals in all that they do, that they might be able to help. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling to recover from illness, and we ask that you be near to them. We pray, Lord, for those who have been unable to get the medical help for other conditions because of COVID. And we pray that very soon they would get the appointments and that they would have the meetings that they need and the treatment that they require. Lord God, we do pray for society in general. We pray for businesses that are struggling, and we ask, Lord, that where those who are struggling in business and struggling with jobs and finances, where there is great worry and concern pressing down upon them, we ask, Lord, that they would be provided for and that they would be helped. Lord, we pray about those who don't seem to care about the virus and their impact upon others around them. We pray, Lord, that people would listen carefully to the advice and adhere to it, and that we would all be kept safe. We pray for schools at the moment as they've gone back, and we pray for safety for teachers and for pupils and for all staff, and we ask that you would keep families safe as well. We think of universities coming back, and especially in our local area. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with the students and the university staff and how all of that fits together, and that everyone would be kept safe. We think of Scripture Union and schools and Christian unions and universities and the challenges that they're going to be as they seek to meet together and yet are unable to do so. And we pray, Lord, for those students who are leaving home for the first time, that they would be able to find good Christian friends and the support that they need. And so, Lord, we bring these things before you in prayer today. We bring our congregation before you as well. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that we were able to open up last week and this week again. And we thank you for the blessing that that is. And we pray that you would keep us safe and sensible and help us to do all that we can. So that, Lord, in all these things, we're bringing glory to your name. Amen. So today, then, we're thinking about re-emerging. I don't know what that means to you. There are lots of different ways that we can re-emerge in life. Have you ever got to the stage where you're driving along the road and somebody just emerges out of a road end right in front of you? It's as if they haven't looked, indeed they haven't looked, and they just put the foot down and take off in front of you. Or maybe they come out in front of you and they slow down and you have to slam on the brakes to avoid a collision. Maybe you get to a roundabout and there's somebody in front. Nobody else in the roundabout. And the person in front is just taking all the time in the world to look all round. And then they proceed nice and cautiously and out onto the roundabout. And they take their time and you're sitting behind them and you're wondering, how long is this going to take as they emerge onto the roundabout? There are all sorts of different ways of doing it. You can either rush right ahead, or you can be very, very cautious, or perhaps somewhere in between. And today we're thinking about re-emerging into the world with living with COVID in the world, how we do that. We've been spending so much time at home, locked down, keeping away from people, and now all of a sudden we have to re-emerge. How do we do that? Well, we're going to try and find an example in the life of Noah today. And Wilfred has already read from Genesis chapter 8. And you might find it helpful to go and read the whole story of Noah, just to remind yourself about it. Because Noah is a great children's story. We have Noah's Ark. We have all of the wonderful picture books for children. But Noah's story is a story that is every bit as appropriate for adults as it is for children. And there's many of the details that perhaps we don't say to the children very much that really impact our lives as adults. And hopefully we'll see some parallels between Noah and ourselves as Noah re-emerged into the world after the flood and as we re-emerge into the world after COVID. So there are a number of lessons that we're going to learn from Noah and his relationship with God. And perhaps the first one that we need to realize is that God prepares us for trauma. God prepares us for difficulties in our lives. Noah knew that the flood was coming. God told him many, many years in advance. Noah started to build the ark, and in the process of building the ark, people were able to ask him what he was doing. They were able to find out what God had in store, and Noah was able to tell them. Now for us, we have been prepared by God for the trauma. We didn't know COVID was coming. We weren't able to tell the world that this disaster was about to happen. But yet God was preparing us. God was getting us ready. God was shaping the circumstances so that when the trauma comes, we're ready to deal with it. And so often we find that in our lives, perhaps not always on a global scale the way that COVID has hit, but certainly on a personal scale, where God prepares us and gets us ready. And all of a sudden, when the trauma hits, we realize that we're able to cope with it. In Genesis 6 and verse 8, as God is preparing for the flood and preparing Noah for the flood, we read that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In the way that he was living his life, God looked at him and saw him and chose him as the one who would be there to keep mankind going on this earth. Now, for us as a congregation, I truly believe that God was preparing us for COVID. He was preparing us individually, but as a congregation, through that whole Try Praying and the 40 days of prayer that we did back in October and November, and then we were doing again for the second time during Lent and the lead up to Easter. Those 40 days of prayer, praying for revival, seeking the Lord, praying for those who are lost, God was preparing us for what was ahead. He hadn't told us what it was that was coming, but he was preparing us for it. And so it's important that we listen to God. And then, indeed, as a whole presbytery doing Try Praying, those 40 days of prayer were an important time for us to think about what God was wanting us to do. And so it's important that we listen to God as we re-emerge. We learn the lessons that he's already taught us, and we're ready to go back out into the world again.
Now, of course, I should say that we're talking about re-emerging today, and that will be very different for each one of us. Some of us are ready to emerge doing more things into the world. Some of us are still a bit cautious. Some of us are a little bit frightened about what's ahead. Some of us have no concerns whatsoever. And so I realize that each one of us will be re-emerging at different rates and prepared to do different things. And obviously that's why we're still doing this recording of the service, because some of you are more than happy to come along to our church service on a Sunday. Others still a little bit cautious about it. And that's understandable. And so we take our time and we do what God wants each one of us as individuals to do, and we prepare for that. Next lesson that we learn about re-emerging is that God doesn't forget. God didn't forget Noah. In the whole process of building the ark and getting ready for it, God was with Noah. When the rains came, he called Noah and his family and to bring the animals into the ark, and there they were. And then for the whole duration of the rain and the flooding, God was with Noah. And we read from verse 1 of chapter 8 that Wilfred read earlier, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. God does not forget. And so in the midst of this COVID, God doesn't forget that we are here and that we are seeking to follow him and to serve him. He hasn't forgotten about us amidst all the trauma that has been going on around us, about the deaths and the illnesses and all the other related things that are happening financially and work-related. God hasn't forgotten. So wherever you are today, remember, God is with you. He knows your situation. He knows what you're going through, and he will not leave you. Next thing we need to realize as we re-emerge into the world is that God has a time for everything. God has a time for everything. And so, therefore, there is a process to go through in this re-emerging. There was a switch that was flicked at the beginning of lockdown, where all of a sudden everything was closed down. We were confined to our homes. We were allowed out once a day to exercise, and that was it. But to come back out of that is much more difficult and will take a lot more time. And God has a time for everything, and everything fits into place in God's timing. As you read through the passage today, you'll have noticed that God had different stages that he took Noah and his family through. That once the water had stopped, once the rain had stopped and the water had stopped rising, in verse 1 we're told that a wind began to blow to displace the water. Verse 2, the rain stopped. Verse 3, then the waters began to recede. And then in verses 6 to 12, we've got the whole experience of Noah sending out a raven and a dove and trying to work out whether there was any dry ground or not. And so God had each of these stages all planned out, and Noah followed them and was able to re-emerge into the world. And so for us, we've got the same situation. God knows what's ahead. God knows the timing that we need to follow. And so therefore, we trust him today for his timing rather than our own. We wait upon him. And that waiting isn't just a sitting back, doing nothing, saying, well, whenever it's ready, it'll all happen. It's actively waiting. It's lingering in God's presence. It's taking time with him. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Isaiah 40 and this whole idea of waiting on God's timing. Today we sang Psalm 40, where I waited on the Lord my God and patiently did bear. We wait on him, we linger in his presence, we look to him and we trust in him. Then the great thing is, as Noah is re-emerging into the world, God provides signs of hope. There are at least a couple of signs of hope here. The dove, whenever it goes out in verse 11, when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And that olive branch, that symbol of hope and peace that is used in so many contexts in the world, was a sign of hope from God that there was a purpose, that things were going to get better. That as Noah re-emerged, there was something to re-emerge to. Some people are frightened that everything has gone as normal and that there's no point in re-emerging. There's nothing worth there. But God has a plan. And then if you move on to the next chapter, chapter 9, we see God giving another sign of hope, the sign of the rainbow. Whenever the rainbow appears, verse 16 of chapter 9, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. Another sign of hope. And God has given us signs of hope today as well. He's reminding us that he is with us, that he will not forsake us. He's reminding us from his word that his promises are true and they're not to be taken lightly, but they're to be trusted and relied upon. He's telling us day by day that he is with us and he will watch over us and he will keep us safe. And so as we re-emerge into the world, let's remember those signs of hope that God has given to us. Then we also see from this story that God loves our worship. Whenever the time eventually came for Noah to come out of the ark, he offered worship to God. The end of the chapter that we read, verses 20 and 21. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. God was pleased. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." God loves our worship. And so as we reemerge, the first thing Noah did was to worship God, and that's important, that as we reemerge into the world, we worship God. We do that because it's the right thing to do. We do that because we need to acknowledge that God is with us. We need to acknowledge that he has never forsaken us. But we also do it as an example to others. We do it to show a witness to others that our God is worth worshiping. That our God has been with us and continues to be with us. That we didn't go through this whole thing on our own, but God is with us. Now, of course, you may be confined to home today. And you may be only re-emerging little by little. You may not be ready to come and to meet with God's people to worship. But you can worship at home. You can let others know that you're worshiping at home. And that God is important and God is significant to you. So let's remember that God loves our worship and he wants to hear us worship him. Next thing that we need to realize about re-emerging is that we should follow God's commands as we re-emerge into this world. God gave Noah a command at the very beginning of chapter 9. He said, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." And this was the command that God had initially given to Adam and Eve whenever he placed them in the garden. And so everything has been taken away, as it were. The world has been punished for its sin in this flood. And it's just Noah and his family that are left. And all the other distractions and all the other things that were going on in the world have suddenly disappeared. And now they're back to the first command that God has given to them. And they rediscover their purpose in God and they rediscover their relationship with God. And that's important for us as we reemerge, that we rediscover what God actually wants us to do with our lives. That we don't just get caught up in the busyness again, that we don't get caught up in all the activity again, but we stop and we look and we see what God is wanting us to do. And this week, in our Bible studies, we're going to be looking at that and seeing what, as individuals, what we are to do and not do, and to also look as a church, what God wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. Not just going back to the way things were, but re-emerging into a world that has changed with a God who doesn't change. Then also, we need to make sure that we don't make a mess of it. Here's Noah and his family. They're given a new start. Everything has been set up for them. Everything that was evil has been destroyed. And here they are, re-emerging into this new world with God. And Noah makes a mess of it. By the end of chapter 9, Noah has received a sign of the rainbow, but he has got drunk. And he's shamed himself. He's lay naked in his tent. His family, his brothers, or his son sees him. And because of that, then Noah curses Canaan. And of course, we know that the difficulties that Israel had between Canaan and Israel over the years. But in verse 25, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." Noah made a mess of re-emerging because he disobeyed. And he tried his own way and he forgot what God wanted him to do. And then as we come into this new world, we need to examine this new world. We don't just go and expect the world to be the same as it always was, because the world has changed. And indeed, we've changed as well over this period. We've got different attitudes now. We perhaps have a new, refreshed relationship with God. And so therefore, we need to look carefully at the world, see how people have changed, see how attitudes have changed, and make sure that we are ready to be witnesses to God as things change around us. Examine the world and see what God wants us to see. So let's give thanks today that as we re-emerge into this world, we're not doing it alone, but God is with us and that he will help us. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of knowing that you are with us and will never forsake us. Help us as we re-emerge into this world once again. Help us to know your salvation. Help us to trust in you, Lord, and help us to find blessing day by day with you. For Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to finish our time together as we sing a new hymn that we've used a few times in our online services over the last few months. It's a hymn by the Gettys, "The Lord is My Salvation," reminding us that whatever trauma we face, God is with us. He redeems us and he is our salvation. Let's worship. As we come to the end of our service today, I want to pray God's blessing upon you in our benediction, that as we re-emerge into this world again, as we re-emerge with God by our side, may we know his blessing. So let us pray together. I pray that our God would be with us and help us as we re-emerge into society this day. May the love of our Heavenly Father, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today and in the days ahead. For we ask it all in his name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today in our time of worship. I hope that as you have worshipped at home, that you know God's presence and that you'll know his blessing upon you. There's no Getty family hymn sing at the end of our service today. The Gettys are on holiday and they've brought their hymn sing to an end, but I know that many of you have enjoyed it over the last few months. But we look forward to joining with you again next week in our worship.